The life you've always wanted. A few weeks ago we were thinking about prayer. Dennis helpfully led us into God's word on that occasion. And prayer is great. Being able to talk to God, to let out what we're thinking, what we're feeling, knowing that he understands, is wonderful. And today we look at the other side of the conversation. What about God speaking to us? Not so much from his word, we looked at that last week, but by his Holy Spirit into his life. Let me read this familiar, perhaps, passage from 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, God speaking to Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, the priest. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel! Samuel!" Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I don't know about you, but I don't find it easy to hear what God wants to say to me. And yet if we want to live as followers of Jesus, if we want the lives that God intended for us, we need to be able to hear what God wants us to hear. And often the problem is that we're not really listening properly. You notice at the beginning of our reading there, the word of the Lord was rare. I'm sure the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, by about verse 3, he is speaking. The God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The God who at the end of the Bible in Revelation 21, he's still speaking. He's still speaking to his people. And the response, "Come, Lord Jesus." The God who speaks wants to be speaking. He wants us to hear what he wants to say. So when it says the word of the Lord is rare, it's not because God doesn't want to speak. It's because, like Samuel, many people haven't yet learned to listen for God's voice. And in the story, thankfully, Eli heard what God was saying. How do we hear God speaking to us? Let me take you back. I may have mentioned this before, but take you back to 1989, December Friday evening in 1989. I don't know where you were, but I know exactly where I was on this particular Friday evening. In fact, actually, if it's Friday evening, it'll be youth club. It's been like that way for about 25 years now, so Friday evening means youth club. I was at youth club. I was running youth club in Gravesend. And I heard a voice. A voice which I believe to be God's voice. And this voice said, "Go home! Go home!" And it was insistent. "Go home. Leave everything and go home." I handed the keys over to somebody else. And it's the only time I've ever done anything like it. I went home to find that actually the baby that Sam and I was expecting, we were losing. Sam was losing, and it wasn't a very happy evening. It's an evening that's etched in my mind for those reasons, but also because, and I'll tell the story because, it's the only time in my life when I think I've heard God's voice, and even now as I remember it, I'm not sure whether it was an audible voice out there or whether it was just in my head. No one else was actually where I was to actually hear the words. I use that as an illustration because very often, in fact 99.9% of the time, God doesn't speak to me in a voice that I can hear. What does it mean to hear God? If you have stories like that, by the way, be thankful that God sometimes has to get through to us in no other way. And he does get through to us. And I believe on that occasion he wanted to get through to my thick skull that I needed to do something. But how do we understand what God is saying for the rest of the time? Well, that's what we're looking at this morning. How God speaks to us. People who say they hear God's voice audibly are often considered to be a bit strange, aren't they? So maybe I've done a disservice to you this morning. Maybe you're looking at me now thinking, hey, oh, he hears voices. But we do, and it's rather odd, isn't it, that we think that way about people, when in fact God does want to speak to us. But most people don't hear God speaking audibly. Throughout the centuries, Christians have given different names to the idea of hearing God. George Fox wrote about the Lord opening up a truth, opening his mind to a particular truth, that God had spoken directly to him. That's, if you read his journals, that's what he's saying, that God spoke directly, not just in general terms. This was God applying truth to his life. John Calvin spoke of the inner testimony of the Holy Spirit. St. Ignatius talked about movements in his soul. The idea that there are times when you know that God is saying something to you. Promptings. They might be a conviction of sin, an assurance of God's love, a call to action. It might be about any of these things, but they're crucial if we want to live the kind of life guided by God's Spirit. The kind of life he intended for us. And we must learn to listen. Like Samuel in the story, we need to learn to listen for whatever way God communicates with us so that we know and recognize his voice. There's that familiar passage in John chapter 10 that I'm sure you will recall. It's in a different context, but Jesus says, if I can find the verse for you. It would help if I wasn't looking at Luke chapter 10, wouldn't it, actually? I thought there was something funny about that. I thought, it doesn't look like John chapter 10. I'll be there in a moment. John chapter 10, Jesus is talking about being a shepherd. And he says this. The watchman, the man who enters by the gate, is the shepherd of his sheep. Verse 2. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus says that his sheep will know his voice. How do we do this? How do we recognize? How do we become better at listening? Listening is a vital part of our transformation in becoming the people that God wants us to be. And that's, remember, what our series is all about. The challenge that some of us were facing earlier on this year was, how are we going to be molded by God's word and transformed by his Holy Spirit working in our lives this year so that we are more the people he wants us to be? Prayer is a very odd thing. In survey after survey, I recognise that many, many people pray. More people seem to pray than admit to believing in God. I'm not sure what the others are actually praying to. But prayer seems to be fairly instinctive. Even for people who aren't Christians, there's this need to cry out sometimes. Prayer seems to be instinctive. But the other way round, God speaking to you is deemed a little bit odd. It's rather like, God's telephone has only got an earpiece and not a mouthpiece. He can only hear what we're saying, and he never wants to respond or speak to us. How do we do this listening? Well, I do believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, and we can learn how to be open to it. It's not just for people who are important. It's not just for people who get burnt at the stake for hearing voices. It's for all of us to learn how to discern God. And we can often miss it. In fact, in George Bernard Shaw, in his play about St. Joan, one of the characters says to Joan, remember, she did hear voices. That's one of the reasons she was burnt. Why the voice of God never speaks to him, the character in the play, as to her. And she says this to him. She says, the voice speaks to you all the time. You just fail to listen. So it really is about us being attentive to what God wants to say. I don't know if you heard Chris Evans' breakfast show on Radio 2 on Friday, but Steve Chalk, our very own Steve Chalk, was doing the pause for thought for the first time. He told this story, it's an old story, about two men walking in the city in London. One belongs in London, he's a banker, the other is from the countryside. And as they're walking down the road, the one who's come in from the country says to the other one, listen! And there's the roar of traffic, it's rush hour. And the other chap says, what? He says, listen, can you hear that? There's a cricket. I can hear that cricket up there somewhere on the building. And the bloke says, don't be silly, you can't possibly hear that. There's far too much noise going on here. There's no way you can hear that cricket. So the chap who's come in from the country digs into his pocket and he finds a pound coin and he drops it onto the pavement. And it clatters onto the pavement on one of those metal grills and goes, you know how they do, before they fall down. And the chap from the city immediately looks around. And so do about 20 other people as they hear that. And he says, what did you do that for? He said, you heard that, didn't you? I think you're listening for the wrong thing. It's true, isn't it? We hear what we want to hear. It's not about God speaking. It's about whether we're attentively listening out for his voice. In the busyness, in the noise of our modern world, we need to hear what God is saying, or else we suffer from a kind of spiritual mindlessness. And as we become used to listening for his voice, then we begin to see it and hear it all around us. We sense God's presence in lots of things that perhaps we've been missing before. And we start to hear him speaking to us in different ways that perhaps we've been missing before. My capacity for not listening, for being mindless in my Christianity, is pretty staggering when it comes down to it. And because it's spiritual, because it's not just forgetting things and being slapdash in a job, it's much more serious because it can actually cripple my life, my spiritual life, if I'm not ready to listen. So how does it cripple me? Well, sometimes when there are difficulties and problems, I don't even think about praying and asking God what he thinks. Well, at least it comes way down the list. I like to get a lot of good worrying in first before I get round to doing that. Long stretches of time go by when I don't really bring these things properly to God to pray. I come to church sometimes or gather with other Christians in some form or other, and I'm not really there. I'm not fully engaging in the worship. I'm not really giving my all and offering everything I have, heart, soul and voice, to God in my worship, because I'm aware there's something that actually should not be in my life and I need to deal with it, but I'm not really ready to do that and I'm not listening to God about that. Surely we're a bit like Jacob. You remember the story of Jacob? I'm not going to go to it in Genesis. Where Jacob, who never really listened to God, he was a con man, he was a cheat, he was a liar, he was out for what he could get really in life. And he came to that place which afterwards he called Bethel, house of God. His name means schemer. He was really the sort of person, chancer, ducking and diving, bit of a Del boy. And yet at this place God speaks to him. God speaks to him while he's sleeping. In a dream he sees a ladder with angels ascending and descending. A vision of the kingdom of God. And at that moment, for whatever reason, he is open to God speaking to him. He's aware of God's presence and he's shaking. He says this. He says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. God was right here, says Jacob, and I didn't know it. God was right here and I didn't know it. And for so much of my life, that could be my motto. Write it over my life. Write it over my home. Write it over my heart. God's here, but I'm not aware of it because I'm too busy doing my own thing. I'm too busy living my own life. I can't hear what God is saying. I can't sense his presence because I'm just getting on with it. And for many of us, we run the risk of tomorrow or even earlier, later on today, just leaving here, and that becomes our default state. God is there, but we're just not aware of it because we're not listening. We're not paying attention. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How those words can describe our lives. So we need to do what Jacob did on that occasion. He built an altar. He said, I need to do something that will remind me this is a special place. And he built the altar. He named the place Bethel. We need to make sure that there are ways we can remind ourselves that God is still speaking to us. It's why some people, when they're baptized and having written out perhaps what they want to say at their baptism, their testimony, they keep that, or maybe a baptismal card or something, in their Bible, so that when you open it and you see it, it reminds you God was in that place. It's why some people keep special mementos of things that happened at certain times. I know in the Protestant tradition and in the Free Church tradition we have spurned things like this, but they're useful things if they remind us of a time when God spoke, as long as we don't forget that he wants to speak again. He wants to tell us and move us on. He wants to challenge us. He wants to meet us in the present and not just remember what has happened in the past. So let's look very quickly at what this idea of God speaking to us is and isn't. What it's about. Why is God wanting to speak to you and to me? What is he wanting to say? Well, by his Spirit, he wants us to live lives that are guided by him. Let me explain what this isn't. I think that's the easiest way of doing it. What is guidance and what isn't it? Well, guidance is not inside information. I'll tell you what I mean by that. Just imagine for a moment that you're... I can't remember the name of the program that Anton Deck used to do on a Saturday night. I mean, they've done so many. Could be anything, couldn't it? But one of the things that they did, one of their shows, at the end, they had someone winning lots of prizes. And they won all these prizes on the board. And at that point, they had to decide, would they gamble the prizes they'd already won in order to win all of them on the big prize? All right? What was that problem? It was Saturday Night Takeaway. They still do that one? Well, if you've never seen it, that's the idea. You've got all of this. Do you gamble for the big prize? And you can guess what everyone always wanted the contestants to do. Gamble. We can understand what it's like to be in that kind of situation because we spend a lot of our lives wanting to get the best we possibly can for ourselves. And a bit of inside information at that moment would be wonderful, wouldn't it? It'd be great if you could know the answer to the question so you could be sure that you're going to win everything you could possibly win. And when we're thinking about guidance and God guiding us, a lot of us would love to believe that it's like that, that God will speak to us so definitely when we're faced with decisions that we have no doubt whatsoever in our minds as to what we're going to possibly do, and it's all going to work out hunky-dory for us. That would be lovely, wouldn't it? But that isn't what guidance is, sadly. And many of us don't really think about God speaking to us and directing and guiding our lives until we've got the big decisions to make. The big decisions. Buying houses, what schools we go to, what jobs to accept, and marriage and things like that. And then we want God to somehow put his rubber stamp and confirm that the gamble we're taking will work out for our best. That's not what this guidance is. Here's a key test to know whether we really want God to guide our lives. It's a good test. How often do we seek God's leading and guidance in our lives when we're not facing trouble or a big decision? How often do we really seek God to lead us in the way we live our lives when it's not a big thing? That's a test of how much we really want God to speak to us and direct us. So we might be asking questions like these. How do I become a more truthful person? Who can help me to learn to pray in a way that nourishes my soul? What things will help me to live joyfully every day? God, speak to me about these things. Lord, lead me. show me how I can do this. Those are the sort of questions that I don't often ask. Things that actually will change me and transform me rather than the decisions that are happening out there. Guidance is not about insider information. And it's not about being spiritual or important. Hearing God speak isn't just for the special people, isn't just for the important people, isn't just for those who go on to do amazing things. It's for everyone. It's the normal Christian life. I love the book of Numbers where there's that lovely story of the donkey. You remember this one? Famous story of the prophet Balaam and his donkey. Balaam is being enticed by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse the people of Israel, and God doesn't want him to do that. So God sends an angel to confront Balaam when he's traveling to Moab to block his way, but Balaam, the prophet, cannot see the angel, and his donkey can. And his donkey doesn't want to walk into this angel, so the donkey turns aside. And Balaam gets really cross with his donkey for doing that. He can't understand why he's moving from one side to the other. And he starts to beat his donkey. And then the Lord, it says in the Numbers, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey says, "What have I done to you?" And tells Balaam all about the angel. God can use donkeys to talk to people. If God can speak to a donkey and through a donkey, then he's not just going to speak to the important people. In fact, in this case, the so-called important person, the prophet who was getting it entirely wrong, couldn't hear God speaking because he wasn't listening. But the donkey was. I sometimes wonder what had happened if the donkey had done what I would have done at that time and said, "Oh, Balaam, you know, you're hopeless. I'm obviously a donkey of great spiritual insight here because I can hear what God is saying and you can't. You silly thing." Well, if the donkey had done that, he'd have made an ass of himself, wouldn't he? Anyway, seeking guidance is not the same thing as insider information. It's not about being important. It's not about being passive. Some people say, "Well, I will just wait. We'll wait on the Lord and we won't do anything. We'll just wait and wait and wait. And then when God speaks, that's fine." But then God doesn't seem to speak. You see, God has made us with brains. He's made us with common sense. He's given us all sorts of things so that we can make decisions about things. And very often it's a combination of those things that matter. It's not about doing nothing. For instance, if I said I'm going to go out and sit on the M2, Junction 6 just out there, and I'm not going to move, I'm going to sit right there, and if I don't get run over by a car, then I know that I'm doing God's will. And it's not just me who thinks that's what God's called me to do. We would think that was stupid, wouldn't we? Of course we would. Of course we would. Doing nothing, sitting down and doing nothing in any context, is actually not a sensible decision to take. Broadly speaking, God did not create people to be passive. He created us in his image. And he's not a passive God. So when we face important decisions, we must pray and seek guidance and exercise judgment and wisdom and initiative and choice and responsibility. And in all of that, we must be living the life where we're constantly listening out for the voice of God. So it's also, guidance is not an avoidance of risk. It's not an avoidance of risk. The way we develop as people is through the decisions that we make and the responsibility we take for them. We think and we learn and we weigh up options and we discover what we truly value and we take responsibility for our choices. God wants us to be people, not robots. So we must understand that life will involve risk and we have to commit to things without being 100% sure about things. All those things are what guidance isn't. God speaking to us. So what is it? And a few moments, and we'll finish, I promise, with just a few moments. How do we pursue the guidance of God through his Holy Spirit? Firstly, we must listen for God continually. It must be the sort of thing that we work at now. We must be doing it now, we must be doing it later when we're eating, we must be doing it at all times. How is that possible? Practice. Practice. That's what this series is all about, practicing the disciplines. It doesn't happen overnight. It won't come magically. It will only come when we apply ourselves, see its worth, And like any other skill, we practice and practice until we can do it. Thomas Kelly wrote this: there is a way of ordering our mental life on more than one level at once. On one level, we may be thinking, discussing, seeing, calculating, meeting all the demands of external affairs. But deep within, behind the scenes, at a profounder level, we may also be in prayer and adoration, song and worship, and a gentle receptiveness to divine breathings. It's a skill that can be learned. So, for instance, we need to set ourselves some tests, and there's some good books we can read about this. Perhaps tomorrow, when we get up, we make this promise to ourselves and to God. We inwardly say to the Holy Spirit, every time we meet someone, how can I now respond to this person? Do you want to speak or work through me in a particular way? We listen to God's prompting. We learn to recognize that nudge that sometimes causes us to speak to somebody that perhaps we wouldn't have spoken to, or spend time with somebody when in fact we were going on to do something else, but this now seems to be more important because God is prompting through His Spirit. So maybe an experiment to do something simple like that this week, as we're interacting with people, listening for the prompting of the Spirit. We need to be relentlessly responsive. So first of all, we need to practice in things that are very everyday, continual, and we need to be relentlessly responsive. We only really hear God speaking when we're continuing to respond. Just for a moment, imagine what it would be like if you get no response. Imagine trying to talk to someone and they're not saying anything back. We've probably had that experience sometimes, haven't we? Maybe they're angry, maybe whatever, but they will not reply. How does God feel if He's talking to us and getting nothing back? Well, in the end, because God is a perfect gentleman, He stops speaking. Until we're ready, until we're receptive. So we need to continually respond to Him to be committed to a life of seeking His kingdom. You see, we may have a great map of Scotland, but we may decide that actually what we'll do is we'll just set off in the car and try and find our own way and muddle our way through and not consult the map. If we're not prepared to consult the map can't help us. If we're not ready to listen to God, then God can't help us. We need to be ready to respond. We sometimes quench or stifle that voice. We need to listen to God's Holy Spirit through what other people are saying. God speaks through donkeys. He speaks through the person sitting next to you. Which is more surprising? The Bible is full of God's message being mediated by a human agency. Sometimes the speaker was unaware of it. But from Moses to Paul, God said, I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. Jesus promised his followers in times of persecution that the Holy Spirit would give them what to say. Paul said we're to speak to each other in spirit-guided wisdom. So we need to listen out for God's voice in what one another has to say. In the early church, believers took this so seriously that they met together constantly. They met every day, daily. They met in the temple courts. They came together because they wanted to pray together to God and they wanted to hear from God. That's what we must do in our corporate life together. We must come together seeking God. It's why we have church meetings. At church meetings, what we're supposed to do, if we get it right, is come together with collected wisdom so that we can say what is on our hearts, what we believe God is leading and guiding us to. We talk about it together. We discern the Holy Spirit, and then we're obedient and responsive, and we go and do it. And the early church took that seriously. We can also call on the community of believers when we personally need help. It may be that we're struggling with a particular decision or with finances, relationships, jobs, things like that. That's why in our house groups they're not doing their job properly unless we have the opportunity to be saying to people, look, this is how I am at the moment. What do you think? What do you think God wants in this? Can we pray together about this? And then we'll listen to hear what He might be saying together. This is how we start to develop this discipline of relying on God's Holy Spirit. Spigot. Rowan Atkinson coming through there. So lastly, we need to practice listening in the small things. It isn't about the big decisions. God will never be able to lead you effectively in the big decisions of your life unless he's got you being continually responsive in all the small things. Much of Christian living involves responsiveness to the guidance of the Spirit in the small things. Ordering our mental life on more than one level. And being prepared to act on what God is prompting us to. Many people throughout history have said, it's not so much that we don't know what God is saying to us, it's that we're not prepared to live like that. There's far more in the Bible that isn't obscure and difficult, there's plenty that is, but there's far more that isn't, that if only we would listen and put it into practice as God prompts by his Spirit, we'd live the kind of lives that he wants, and we must test it out. People get very nervous of folks who, like I did at the beginning of this sermon, are always telling you that God has spoken directly to them and they know it's true. Believe me, I've been in some very, very tricky situations where certain people have demanded that others act in a certain way because they've been told by God that this is right. Often used by young men when speaking to young women about marriage. God has told me that you're to marry me. Hard to get out of that one. But it's not right. We get nervous around that, and rightly so, because that's a misuse of this. But when we're genuinely listening for God, through his word, through other people, through the coming together of people as the people of God, testing it out and weighing it up, and applying it day by day as we seek to live our lives under the guidance of God, then that's brilliant. That's how we're meant to be. That's what it's all about. And from time to time within that, I expect that God will speak in a very dramatic and definite way. Sometimes he just has to do that to get through, but that isn't the default mode. So we won't be transformed if we refuse and set ourselves apart from the guiding power of God's Holy Spirit. We must believe, mind-stretching though it sounds, that God really can and does personally attend to us and the minutiae of our lives. He really wants to be involved and is ready to speak to us. As long as we pray to the God who spoke creation into being, who commanded prophets and priests and kings and ordinary people, who wrote a 1,000-page book that we know as the Bible, and who refers to his Son as the Word made flesh, then surely we've got to accept that sometimes he might just want to get a word or two in with us. Let's pray. Father, we know that you are always far more ready to speak to us than we are to listen to you. And although we'd like to think we're good at doing that, we know in our heart of hearts that there are too many things that crowd out what you are saying. Lord, help us to be disciplined. Help us to be able to develop our capacity to respond to you, to hear your voice, to recognize your presence in a way that we haven't until now. And for those of us, Lord, who have been practicing your presence for many, many years, help us never to grow stale. Always be ready to walk further, deeper in your ways, hearing your voice calling us, beckoning us onwards. Give us an obedient spirit, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.